A Quiet Tide by Marianne Lee. Read by Aoife McMahon for Saga Egmont. For J&J. Author's note. In Ireland in the early 1800s, as in the rest of the United Kingdom, the recipient, not the sender, paid the price of postage. Officers of the state and others were permitted to frank and receive an amount of postage duty-free. The binomial system of naming plants that was developed by Carl Linnaeus, the Linnaean system, was introduced in the late 1700s and continues to be used today. However, though the binomial system remains unchanged, the classification of plants has been updated, resulting in name changes for species. In southwest Ireland in the early 1800s, much of the local population spoke the Irish language, particularly in more remote rural areas. Many would have had little or no English. Prologue. Bantry, County Cork, February 1807. The fisherman sidled up to her on the quay.
"You're Miss Hutchings, the plant lady from Ballylickey?"
"I am."
"They said you might be interested in a curious tree I've seen growing."
His English was fluent, if careful. He had steady, intelligent eyes, sand-coloured hair. "Yes?"
"I know the trees here around, yet I've not seen this type before or since. A rare sight, brave and green, in that barren place."
"Where?"
He waved a hand out to sea. "An island not much more than a big rock, set in rough waters off Bear Island. You'll not get near it except in good conditions. No wind or swell."
"Could you take me?"
"Too dangerous for a lady."
"I'm used to boats and climbing to out-of-the-way places."
"I'd not do it, miss."
He shook his head, his mouth a hard line.
"But if I get near it again in the summer, I'll dig the roots out for you."
"Don't put yourself at risk, not for the sake of a plant."
"I know those waters since I was a boy, miss. Could sail them blind."
"Well, I've never encountered anything like you describe. If you can get the roots, send them to Ballylickey House." She often thought of him on calm, clear days. She looked for him amongst fishermen unloading mackerel and herring, mending nets, boiling cans of water over small fires. Eventually she approached a group of men congregated on the quays in Bantry. "Have you seen James O'Sullivan of Bear Haven lately?" They spoke amongst themselves in Irish, gesturing, shaking their heads. Their wind-burnt faces shone like mahogany. "What is it? What happened?" One man stepped forward.
"He drowned, miss, a month back."
"My God, how terrible. Where?" They shifted their feet. A low murmur came from within them, like a rushing wave.
"Somewhere off Crowhead. They were only an hour out. A storm came up."
His eyes met hers, a flicker. She saw there all the horror of those few words. "Had he a family?"
"A wife, two boys and a girl. He was a good man. They got the body, buried him decent."
"I'm sorry." The men looked at the ground, shrinking within themselves, casting her out. She backed away, shaken, ashamed. Why? She was not responsible. The breeze stung her face, tart with the briny whiff of fish. James O'Sullivan lay now in Glebe Graveyard, under the shifting sky and the whisper of elder saplings. She searched for the tree, had the crew position the boat as close as possible to every lonely outcrop they came across. She clambered over rock, tearing her skirts. Once she slipped and almost toppled back.